So before I begin, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I guess I came from a little bit further than most people for this VOD. So, the Maitza, here we are. Someone was just commenting. It's, I guess, for Summer's Man in Miami. I guess this is the last, almost the end of this Man. I think this Man ends with Tisha B'Av. So if you didn't feel that it ended before Tisha B'Av, well, this is for sure when this Man is ending. And specifically today, being Tisha B'Av, yeah, is as well said, it's probably in a certain sense appropriate, like to end the Zman on Tisha B'Av. Because if you end on Tisha B'Av, you definitely realize that our life is not complete, things are missing, it's not like we reached a climax, like Pumferkert. Like we realize that it's Tisha B'Av, it's a sad day. Unfortunately, we have no Beis HaMikdash. We weren't Zocha to be the ones, to be the first ones here for the coming of Mashiach, right now. At least, and it's a shtickle sad. I have here a sefer from Steinemann. It's a very, very interesting sefer in Perush HaTfilah. I looked around the local stores. Didn't look like it so easy to get it. Yeshiva has it here. So he's teaching the bracha that we say every day. Yerushalayim Ircha Barachim and Toshuv. Right, that phrase in particular, it could be we have the schus today of being in Yerushalayim, something which many Doros did not have the schus even pretty recently, especially to have the schus. I think some people already went. I hope myself and I'm sure others will want to go tonight to the Kosel. Something that until relatively recently we did not have that full schus. So, v'sishkom b'socha kasher dibarta, we definitely deher, even if we feel that being in Yerushalayim is like utopia, but it's not perfect, and unfortunately we see many signs that it's not a perfect society yet, Yerushalayim. Referencing Maska. But the phrase that hit me, uvneo sa b'kar v'yameinu b'nyan olam, we should, Hashem should rebuild it, b'kar v'yameinu, speedily in our days, binyan olam. The third base of midrash will last forever. So, if Steinemann is simply medayik, what does it mean? Bekar biyameinu. So, Steinemann writes, "Dainu shenichya v'nizke lezeh v'lo namos kodem." We should be zocha that we should see the binyan base of midrash in our days, and we shouldn't die before that. How appropriately said on the day of Tisha B'Av, to note, you know, this is the year that Steinemann passed away. And I'm sure when he wrote these words, he wanted fulfillment of them. That v'neo sabikar v'yameinu, that he should have been in the door that would see Mashiach, and would see the binyan beis hamikdash. And he shouldn't, chas v'shalom, pass away before that. If Steinemann passed away this year, he wasn't zocha yet to see this. But hopefully, it's something for all of us to look forward to. You know, in this Tisha B'Av, that we think that, you know, we should be zocha, that not so many more generations, you know, there's many mesorahs that, from the Gra, that by the year 6000, it's then or nothing. The Beis HaMikdash has to be rebuilt. If you go where Schwab has some fascinating cheshbon that there were like 100 years lost in the calendar, like, so 5, 7, 7, 8 is really much, much closer to the end game that it has to be by the year 6000. So the hair, where we are in history, it's not so crazy to really, really wish that Bikar B'Yameinu, that we should be the generation to see the building, rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Like the Deheret, one of the kinnas today hit me, some of the words we say, where the Piyut is talking about the fact that in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, all the Mesim should get up for Tchias HaMesim. Like, in America, you don't visit Beis HaKavaris so often, usually. Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, you have a schos, you have a chance to visit. You know, imagine the whole Har Menuchos, and the whole Har Zesim, the whole Sanhedrin Beis HaKavaris, and this Beis HaKavaris and Beit Shemesh. Imagine all the people in Tzfas getting up, like, just to see a scene like that, the Kari B'Yameinu. That would be pretty amazing to see everybody just get up. Mob scene. I'm sure there'll be enough room. So that's what we're really talking about, you know, on Tisha B'Av. And, you know, just like Lahavdol, fully, but, you know, on the Yom Kippur, there's Ne'ilah. There's the closing of the gates. Really, there's Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av too. This is Ne'ilah of Tisha B'Av. We're sitting here at Shkia right now as I look at my watch. And these are really the last few moments of the day of Tisha B'Av. And our Chazal say that Kol Dor, that the Beis HaMikdash not rebuilt in their days, it's like it's Nechrav in their days. Rav Tzaka told us that perhaps we can't really understand what it means the Beis HaMikdash, but we probably could understand what it means Averos, which brings about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So like, now's the time, if we didn't yet do it, you know, it's a big schus, you know, it's obviously the end of the fast. I remember years ago reading from, tried finding it, we only have one volume here. The Sod V'Shorosh HaAvoda, he talks about that at the end of a fast, when in some ways it's the hardest point, you've fasted for so long, it's already past the 24-hour mark. So people are weak, in a weaker state, but Hagufa, we're less gashmias, and we're more closer to our ruchnias side, closer to our neshama. So if anything, the best time to make a Kabbalah and to make some like hargashas to change is right here, right now. Last few moments. And hopefully we could touch on some ideas that could elevate a person, could make a Kabbalah. You know, the yeshiva had a discuss of visiting Rav Gamliel. So I know there are many guys who are already packing up, and guys are leaving Mama Shmotzi Tisha B'Av. So you're sitting there, you're packing up your tons and tons of Sfarim and whatever keepsakes you have from Eretz Yisrael, your t-shirts you got in the old city. But Rav Gamliel said, really what you should take from Eretz Yisrael is a Kabbalah. So Baruch Hashem, guys in yeshiva make Kabbalahs. But you can make additional Kabbalahs here on Tisha B'Av. And to make a Kabbalah that I'm going to accept something, it could go a long way. Shiva Zatzal many times would quote the Misos Hasharim towards the end of the Sefer, where he says that anybody, any one individual, could really bring about Mashiach. Really, any one individual has a kochus and the power to bring about Mashiach. And the Shiva would quote that in the context of Galus Adam, look how much a person could accomplish. But like, it's right here, right now. It's like, now's the time. It's Tisha B'Av. And if there's any day in the Sugal for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, for the pain of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash today, and to think thoughts of what I could do to make the world a better place, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big thing. So I decided to speak about two inyanim now, the next few moments before Davi Ma'arif. Two inyanim. And really the theme of these two inyanim, I was inspired, excuse the pun, by two organizations. Really, the day of Tisha B'Av, unfortunately, I try to do it every year. In Eretz Yisrael, I haven't been able to do it yet. Never worked out timing or locations. But I think the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation deserves a big schus for changing the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. You know, Baruch Hashem, I think people spend mornings in Shul. But in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, Lav Davka, there always used to be programming. You know, here in the mirror, you could go sit Shmooze after shmooze by Gedolei Baal Mussar. Okay, but that's for yeshiva light. For Baal Batim, for people not in yeshiva, to be connected to Ruchnias on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, pre the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation's videos, was not such a big deal. It was not such a common thing. And the Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, probably going back 20 years already, have started the idea of having videos really focused on Bein Almach Avera, on Lashon Hara, but really other Midos things. And they've been doing this mamish for many, many years. They have tremendous speakers. And they speak about Yom HaChavera. This year they happen to have Rabbi Friend and Pesach Kron as keynote speakers. I didn't hear it, but what topic did they speak about? What was the theme this year? So it was Mishtati Fitzara Shel Chavera. Feeling someone else's pain. And that is a pretty major element of Yom HaChavera. Last night, every year in Tisha B'Av, try to connect, besides the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but also to more recent tragedies. I try to read books on the Holocaust. Last night I happened to read a book in my brother-in-law, sister-in-law's house. They had about the Har-Nof massacre. Now that's something I could really identify with. Because I myself, you know, 4 years ago, I remember where I was when I heard about the Hard Knife Massacre. I was already living in Miami. And that year, I had a pretty amazing story where the yeshiva sent me to go with the 12th grade on their trip to Eretz Yisrael. And to make a long story, many long stories about that trip, but short, the yeshiva landed. We were supposed to go to the coastal the first night we were there, but that was the night of Yom HaTzmaut. And I wasn't sure. I heard Havaminas when I was in America that could be Yom HaTzmaut is not the best day to go to the coastal and things, but till basically 10 minutes before we got in the taxis to go to the coastal, I confirmed that they were having, well, it's on a Churban at the coastal, they were having some dance mixed affair at the Kotel, and I decided that would be the worst possible way to introduce Talmidei Yeshiva to the Kotel, and I canceled the trip. The guys were all excited to go to the Kotel. What are you going to do? And Siat Ishmael had put in my mind, I said, let's go to Har Nof. And we took taxis to Har Nof, to the shul where the massacre occurred, mamash, a few months earlier. And I remember we got out of the taxis, and we walked up the steps of that shul in Har Nof, and I saw the bullet holes in the glass by the doorway when you walk into this huge shul. It's still fresh, it's still there. I remember I walked into the Beis Medrash, and I randomly hacked around. I asked, is there somebody here who was here during the massacre who could speak in English to a group of yeshiva bachrim? Remember we had somebody who went and spoke. It was very moving. We actually had it in the room where the massacre occurred. And it's a horrible, horrible, you know, there are blood stains on the walls. There are candles, yahrzeit candles still going. And this is something, a massacre which happened in a shul, people sitting and davening. Like, horrible. You can't come to grips with it. You know, people mamish with towels and tefillin. You know, it was a nes, many, many, many people, most of the people escaped. Five front people got killed together with a soldier, a security person, not Jewish, but a tragedy. Something not so long ago. It's something you read this book. It's written by the wife of one of the people who actually went through. The person was nifter a year later. He was basically in a coma. I didn't read the whole book. The first part of the book. He was in a coma for a while. It could be at some point he got out. But he was nifter within a year of the tragedy. And it talks about the random people who were mishtatif with their tsar, who connected with their tsar. She would have random people. I remember one night, two Hasidish men met her and asked her what her family could use and basically gave her wads of American money. Could be they're American. She didn't know they're... And these people really like connected with her tsar. She said these people begged her to daven on their behalf. One was a Hasidish Yid who was married, who didn't yet have children. Other person didn't yet have the schus to get married. And they themselves are people in pain, but they felt if they could help another person in pain, person who, her husband was in a coma, the same person a few years earlier lost a teenage son on a hike here in Eretz Yisrael. Like, tragic. But these obviously aren't normal occurrences. This is part of what you call Chevli Mashiach. And you know, one of the amazing things she writes in this book of how so many people tried in some way to be mishtatif with their tzar. This year, where we're here in Summersman, one day we ended up, I took a small group of guys, we ended up visiting Yeshivas Merkez Harav, which is like the very chash of the yeshiva within the Mizrahi world. And one of the things we saw was, after visiting, we saw their Beis Medrash. We also found their library. Oh, we had all this fun. We're looking up. They have a tremendous library. They had Biyum V'yudims and Chidushi Aleves and Berachos Davids. I don't know, all this fun stuff they had there. It Taka, now then, as we walked out of it, I Taka remembered the story that there once was a massacre in Yeshivas Merkaz Harav. And if you walk right outside their library, which is, that's where the tragedy took place. I think I remember it was Purim time. They have the door, which was shot up, hanging on the wall, together with like a plaque noting that the tragedy occurred here. And I remember, I'm pretty sure that year it happened Purim in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm pretty sure that year in Yeshiva, David, hear this one line. This is the one, hear this one line. Before you, Yeshiva in Queens, together with other yeshivas, I believe canceled their dancing that night, that year on Purim, the night of Purim, to be mishtatef in the tzar of there. I'm pretty sure, unless it was a Hanukkah mesiba. It was one of two. Either happened on Hanukkah or Purim. Huh? Happened with Shodesh Adar? So I remember there was something the yeshiva dafka canceled to mishtatef in the tzar. I also remember one random Talmud in yeshiva, leave his name out of this for a moment, who had like a letter writing campaign. He asked guys in yeshiva to write letters. He put like a big envelope up on the bulletin board downstairs in Queens, and he asked for guys to write letters to like families of lost Talmidim, in this massacre. I think that's another example of Mishtatef B'Tzara Shel Chavera, to write a letter, to feel, especially in a situation where sometimes, people don't necessarily identify with the yeshiva where people are wearing t-shirts and sandals, but they're sitting and learning. They've been learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. So, we should also mishtatef and connect and feel the tzar. So that's the basic level of mishtatef b'tzara shel chavera. It's probably, I would say, easier when there is a tragedy to connect with someone having a tragedy. But I was thinking about it, at the Herd, really on a daily basis, we also have opportunities to mishtatef b'tzara shel chavera, but it's less obvious, much more subtle. Say you have a guy in yeshiva who doesn't have a chavrusa. Now, sometimes the right thing is, hey, what could I do to see if I could switch chavrusas or help out a guy who hasn't really had a good chavrusa for a few months? But sometimes it's probably not the right thing to do. And sometimes, there isn't anything I could do. But even if there isn't anything you could do, you could still feel someone else's pain. And anytime you interact with this person, to be sensitive to his pain, to understand what he's going through when he doesn't have a chavrusa, or when he doesn't have the best chavrusa, or when shir is something which is very hard for him, or any other tsar that a bachur in yeshiva could be going through. Whatever a person could do to feel someone else's pain is a big deal. I just heard a story last night of once on a couple came to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and they were a week away from getting married. And this couple came to Rosh Shlomo Zalman that right before the wedding, I guess the Masada Kedushin was going through their yichus. And it turned out there was one of the people, I guess originally came from not such firm backgrounds. One of them was a Kohen. And the girl was a ger with questionable yichus. And they looked into it, and they were sent to some bezdin. And the bezdin said, it's not good yichus, and the Kohen can't get married to her. And they came to Rosh Shlomo Zalman. What should we do? We want to get married, we're supposed to get married. But this bezdin said, I forget whatever the situation, why you couldn't get around this problem. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman looked in, he said, what bezin was it? He says, this is a very reputable bezin. It's a bezin you definitely can trust. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. And the couple swallowed, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's words. And then a second later, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, bangs on the table, and he starts crying. And he's like, I don't know how I could utter such words, and nothing I can do. I could do something. I could cry with you. And Shlomo Zalman started to cry. But that's a gadol, like realizing no matter what the situation, you could feel someone else's pain. Even in a situation where your hands are tied, there's nothing you can do practically within your power to help them. But even just being, you know, feeling their pain, even to the degree of crying for them, that's something a person could do. And if everybody in yeshiva really felt other people's pain, other people's struggles, other people's challenges, even if you can't do anything to fix it, but that goes a long way. And that's something, you know, especially on a day like Tisha B'Av, for people to think about. The more people really are, you know, feel people, other people's pain, you never know, you can misbowl. Even the hargasha itself of feeling someone's pain, the stomach is a schos to help the person get out of that situation. And, you know, the more a person is mishtatef, you know, in a friend's pain, you know, Bez Hashem, you know, it should save a person themselves from pain, but it also builds a person, right? Vayigdal Moshe, that was the first act that Chazal defined as Moshe Rabbeinu's act. What became Vayigdal Moshe, that he became, he grew up, he became great. He was Nosiv Olam Chavera. He was Vayar B'Siv Losam. You know, in yeshiva, you know, everyone wants to steig and grow to become a Talmud Chacham. You know, maybe to have the schos to be a Marbetz Torah. But first and foremost, right, Mishtat B'Tzara Shel Chavera, to feel someone else's pain, to relate to Talmidim, to relate to friends, to siblings, to neighbors, that goes a long way. And that definitely is one important aspect for people to focus on, I would think, on the day of Tisha B'Av. But a second area, which is probably connected, but I think a second organization really jumped on the coattails of the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation and decided also to make the day of Tisha B'Av a day where there are videos and there are speeches that inspire people, is the Isha Torah organization, Project Inspire. I think probably they've been doing probably at least for the past 10 years. They've had different videos about Kiruv Rechokim. And it's something which is very, very true. You know, I was just by Har Menuchos like last week, and I noticed who's buried, who is the schos of being buried right by Rebbe Elyashiv. It was actually somebody who was nifter, I think, a couple of years before him. Somebody I actually know pretty well because I was related to his Rebbetzin. So Gesundheit. Is Rav Noach Weinberg, the founder of Eshet Torah. He had this schos, he's mamash buried, mamash a few feet from Rebbe Elyashiv. And Rav Noach Weinberg himself has tremendous schosim as being the founder of Eshet Torah and being responsible for so many Balei Tshuva. And I remember myself, years ago I was a bacher in Flatbush, he used to speak in Flatbush in the summer in Voretzky Shul. They would have Pirkei Avos in the summer, different speakers. I remember one week he came and spoke. And one of the things he always, always spoke of was the need for regular from people, not trained Kiruv people, but regular from people to be involved to some degree in Kiruv. And it was just a simple numbers thing. That unfortunately, numbers, there are literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of non-from people all across the globe. Many, many in America, many, many in Eretz Yisrael. And there are not enough Kiruv professionals, not enough money in the world to hire Kiruv professionals, but not enough people ready to dedicate their lives to Kiruv to reach every one of these people. And unfortunately, if you don't realize, the clock is ticking. And there's only X amount of time till you reach these people before they intermarry and before they're forever lost to Klal Yisrael. So the world of Kiruv is a very, very scary. The window is very quickly closing. And to really do Kiruv and reach people, you know, so sad. Like this whole book I was reading about one of these Kedoshim, I think it's not just true about one of them. It was multiple of these people who were killed in Har Nov. These Kedoshim were products of the Baal Tshuva movement. the story that I was reading, both people, the husband and wife, were both Bali Tshuva. And when they became close to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, affected their families. And if regular people don't get involved to some degree in Kirov, in interacting in a positive way with firm people, with non-firm people, then unfortunately we're in big trouble before, you know, the window closes and these people are lost to Klai Yisrael. So really, to be mishtatef and feel someone else's pain, or to feel the need to reach out to another Jew who is very tricky because they don't realize they're in pain. And that's a big problem. Like, it's one thing, a person has a tzara, they lost a parent, they lost a sibling, so they feel, you see they're in, unfortunately, a sad state. But someone who's not from, most of the time, they don't realize they're missing something. They don't realize they need you. And all the more so, it feels awkward, or a person feels distance. You know, should I say something to him? Should I smile? Should I be nice? Like, but you never know. The person that you're sitting next to on a bus, whether that bus is here in Eretz Yisrael or Kol Shekein in Florida. Florida, everywhere you meet people who are bageling you, who are dropping some line. Oh, you know, when do you light Shabbos candles tonight? Right? You could give them a terse, curse answer, tell them the time, or you could say to them, oh, it's so nice that you light Shabbos candles, it's so wonderful. Whatever a person could do, you never know the age, you know, even the old people we meet in Florida, what hashpa they could have on their grandkids. And it's a big deal. If a person positively touches, you know, kol shekein, a person makes a Kabbalah, I want to be involved to some degree in Abbas's Torah when I get older, sure. But even right here, right now, or whatever situation in life, a person works, I could positively interact with my co-workers. It's a big deal. I could, you know, as a firm person, I just could look when I walk down the street to make a Kiddush Hashem, not to cut people off or steal people's parking spots or whatever else goes on. You know, to make a positive Kiddush Hashem is a big deal. Today, Isha Torah happened to have a video, also I didn't have a chance to watch, but about one person who was unbelievable. I remember years ago when I was a bacher in Miami, Shver, my father-in-law, the Grumbot, was giving a shmooze, and he spoke about a person's sincerity. And he decided in the middle of the shmooze, I guess in those days in Florida, he allowed to say stories in a shmooze. He told a story of Meir Shuster. Meir Shuster was, they called the man by the wall. Who, amazing story. He was a younger man, an American younger man, in the Meir Yeshiva. He wore actually a straw hat. This is going back to the 70s. He wore a straw hat. He wore his jacket on his sleeves. And one time he was on a bus, and he ended up talking to a non-firm person, and he was totally, totally an awkward person. He self-proclaimed himself. He wasn't a smooth, you know, good speaker. And he talked on the bus to some non-firm person, and he realized that he had a hashpa. So he was makabel that one time he was on a bus here in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to try to see what he can do to help interact with more non-firm people. And it was famous, he would daven by the coastal all the time, especially Friday nights, but all the time. And he had no clue about how to pick up a non-firm Jew. He would ask a person what time it was. He wouldn't wear a watch. Ask a person what time it was. The person would tell him the time. Then he would ask, are you Jewish? Talk about, you know, pretty dorky two steps. What time is it? Are you Jewish? Would you like to go to yeshiva? And they testified about him that he was the one man feeding. This is before he had hundreds of Kiev people all around Eretz Yisrael. But this one person, just with pure sincerity, meeting people by the coastal, would ask them, are you Jewish? This. And he sent tons and tons and tons of people to yeshivas. The yeshivas, Eshet Torah, or Sameach, all testified it was only because of him that they got off the ground, that they had people in their yeshivas, because of one American person who did not have good social skills, but he did have something impressive. He was nosy ba'om chaver, he cared about other people, he felt the need to be makar of people, help out. And Bezal Hashem, if we all feel that, I'm a kabbal to do something in our own lives, Bezal Hashem, right here in this base medrash, we could be the ones to, Bezal Hashem, next year, hopefully this year, rebuild the base of Mekdash.